The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Cahill Friel, Executive Chairman, and Mo Khan, CEO of Open Orphan, ORPH. Ticker. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Justin, it's a pleasure to talk.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's good morning to you both. Nice to have you both on. And you've released a trading update, volunteer recruitment and laboratory facilities expansion, RNS there. So let's dig into it. First of all, so Cahill, you've given a brief trading update this morning. Open Orphan is looking to be in line with guidance given last September. Tell us more, if you could, Cahill, on that.
Yeah, Justin, look, we've kind of, the market is a very nervous place with Ukraine, with the biotech sell-off. So look, we kind of pushed our trading update out fairly quickly to reassure the market, basically. And the first reassurance, we're trading exactly as guided last September. There's no downside, if any, it's all upside. So to repeat what we said last September is that, look, we confirmed we would do 40 million revenue last year, and that's where we are. That we'd be EBITDA profitable for last year, that's it. And more importantly, people say, well, if you're really making money and you're not burning through the cash, show us the cash. So we've made clear this morning, all of this is subject to confirmatory audit, but we had 15.6 million uncommitted cash in the bank at the end of last year. So that's a pretty cool place to be. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, last September, we gave guidance for this year, and we said we would hope to do in the region of 50 million in non-COVID work, and any COVID revenue come in this year would be on top of that 50. So we're reaffirming that guidance. So I think just, I know there are a lot of nervous, our share price is far from where we wanted to be, but hey, that's pretty good guidance. And I know there'd be some people worrying and concerned, oh, well, what's happening? There's something wrong with the business. There's absolutely nothing. There is shareholders panicking and selling off. But when you look at that, it look, basically, we couldn't be in a better place. Let's work our way through the next month or two. And I'd imagine the share price will correct itself at the appropriate time. But there are sellers at the moment. But if they read through into this or in this today, like, trading is good. It's exactly as guided last September. No changes.
Yeah, I know there is indiscriminate selling due to the fears, and regardless of what any business is doing, it seems almost all shares are being sold off. So I am getting a lot myself, people asking me what's going on, and I said, well, it's just general fear in the market, you know. So yeah, hopefully a bounce is coming. But so let's go to the next one. So Cahill, you're opening new facilities, and you know, was this done on a cost efficient basis like the previous expansions?
Yeah, look, a big part of the last week and this week to introduce our new colleague, Mo, and I have worked closely together since the middle of October. He's in now as a very hands-on full-time CEO, while I remain a very hands-on full-time non-exec chairman. But the really important bit, Mo has been instrumental helping us these new facilities. We've increased our bed capacity by almost 50%. We have 19 extra beds, so that gives us over 60 beds now, and we had 43 before. So that's pretty cool. And if you see the cash pile went up, so we're not burning through the cash. That was done on a really cost-effective basis. And just to give a bit of guidance, some of the 12 of those new beds are in our new Plumbers Lane facility. We inherited, let's be honest, a horrendous expensive Alley Street facility here. The first chance we got a break clause is this month, and guess what? We're getting out of here. But Plumbers Lane, we've got 9,000 square feet over two floors. There's 12 bedroom facility going in there as well. And we're paying a fraction of that the 9,000 square foot. Our cost is a fraction, and I say a fraction, about a quarter of what we're currently paying for 4,000 square feet in our current headquarters being inherited from the previous management. So yes, very cost efficient, not incurring big costs, but still, I think Mo will explain to you in a moment, a really cool state-of-the-art facility now, and it's literally around the corner from our two quarantine facilities. And more importantly, we expanded Manchester from 500 square foot to 2,000 square feet. That means we can screen four times as many volunteers, because as everybody knows, I think the concern last year, oh, if you're signing all these studies, how the hell are you going to do them? Well, it's fairly clear, 50% almost increase in beds and a quadrupling in the screening facility in Manchester. So without further ado, I might hand over to Mo here, who's we've got to work very closely together in recent months.
Yeah. Well, Mo, tell us, you know, it feels like I said, opening new facilities. Tell us more about how this expands, you know, the business offering, as it were.
Yeah, so the goals of this move are really threefold. Firstly, we want to centralize and localize our outpatient facilities because we do screening and follow-up visits. So we want to make those visits to take place locally to where the volunteers are based. We also want to increase our capacity to screen volunteers for our studies, both challenge and non-challenge trials. And finally, we also want to double our laboratory capacity. So as a direct result of this move, we will plan to add 90 more beds to our London facility, getting us to a total bed count of 62. And as Carl mentioned, this move has been at a very low cost. Our QMB and Whitechapel facilities will now be fully dedicated to quarantine studies with on-site lab facilities. We'll expand the scope of our services now to include phase one PK and bridging trials because we have more space at the new Plumbers Row facility. And we also want to move towards recruiting into phase two vaccine trials, for example. Now, these trials don't require patients to be quarantined, and we already have the pool of patients from our flu camp campaign. So we believe that by using the patients who are not eligible for the quarantine studies to be recruited into the phase one and the phase two trials.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you sort of mentioned it. But how these new facilities, how do they benefit your volunteer screening capabilities then, Mo?
Well, the key challenge in any early phase trials is recruitment. We have one of the biggest brands in flu camp on recruitment, and we now have double the capacity for volunteer recruitment and can now screen up to around 200 screenings per day. It's also going to enable us as a company to recruit larger cohorts of patients. We've seen the size of challenge studies increase. So the number of volunteers our customers are requiring us to challenge per study is increasing. So we want to make sure that we are ready for that. And with the addition of the Manchester facility, as I mentioned earlier, it will mean that we can do our screening and follow-up visits local to where the volunteers are based. And in fact, this means only one trip needs to be made to London for the quarantine facility, and that's it. The rest of all business can be done locally to where the volunteers are residing.
Yeah, excellent stuff. And how does this move impact, if any way, your laboratory services?
Well, by centralizing the screening facility, we're going to release additional lab space in our London offices in QMB, and also we will be adding the new Manchester lab capacity as well. We currently analyze around 90,000 samples per year, and we expect to increase that significantly. We are one of the leaders in performing virology assays, and this is something we want to grow. We are already working with some academic key opinion leaders, and we want to build on that. And we expect to gain the relevant certification on our laboratory. And I see our lab services to becoming a key part of our service portfolio as we move into 2022.
Excellent stuff. Well, guys, that's my questions answered. If anything else you want to say, but I'm sure you reassured investors. Carly and Mo, thanks very much.
Thank you very much for having us on.
Justin, thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.